This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Second down and 10. Sanchez is back to throw. He is going to be hit and sacked. And a fumble on the play. Patriots recover. The game is over.
The Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Snap to Brady in the shotgun. Looks, fires left wide open at the 30, 35, 40, midfield to the 40. It is down the sideline and in for a touchdown to Patriot running back Shane Vereen.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Play action fake by Sanchez. Back to throw, gets rid of it. It's up. Oh, what a collision on Sean Green. He got labeled by who else?
Pow!
Brandon Spikes, and Sean Green is not getting up after this.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
What a ridiculous game. Start to finish, an absolutely ridiculous game was played tonight at Gillette Stadium. And somehow, in the end, the Patriots come away with a 34-31 victory to improve to 8-3 on the year and 6-0 at home at Gillette Stadium. They hand the Broncos their second loss of the year, and the Patriots get a 34-31 win. As time was winding down in the overtime session, Steven Goskowski with a field goal to win it for the Pats after a muffed punt by the Denver Broncos, which was fair caught by Julian Edelman. And this is going to be a play that's talked about because it was clearly the play that led to the Patriots winning this game. Tony Carter was hit with the football, bounced up and hit Tony Carter, and the Patriots recovered the ball. Nate Ebner was there for the recovery. And some people would say that Tony Carter is the guy to blame on that play. Tony Carter being the player to get on for that mistake. But I've got news for you. The GOAT of that play
is number 83.
Is none other than Wes Welker. Now, there were some Wes Welker chants going on during the course of the fourth quarter in the overtime and then right before that punt. And if you were watching on TV, Al Michaels made reference to it just before the punt was kicked. And Welker screwed up. First of all, Welker didn't have the confidence to step up and make the catch. He didn't catch the ball, which in that situation, he should have been making sure to secure the football there. He should have stepped up, made the catch. And if you fumble, if you end up fumbling the catch or you can't get a good hold on the catch, what ends up happening? You end up fumbling the football. Well, look at what happened when you don't secure the football and then you don't make a good enough effort to tell your teammates, to call off your teammates to get out of the way. If you're watching on TV, you heard Chris Collinsworth make mention of whatever the poison call may be or whatever the code word might be. Every team has one. Every team has that word that the punt returner should be yelling at the guys coming back downfield trying to make blocks for them because their first priority on that play is to make blocks when a guy receives a punt and to protect the guy who is catching the football. Their job, first and foremost, is to try and protect Wes Welker. So to return the favor, Wes Welker is supposed to be alerting those guys to get out of the way of the football. And he called for the fair catch late, and it didn't look like he made enough of an effort or an effort at all to tell his teammates to get out of there. And so, yeah, the ball did bounce up and hit Tony Carter, but that was not Tony Carter's fault. You can thank Wes Welker for a big part of why the Patriots won this game tonight in Foxborough. And this is just the last minute of play we're talking about. There is so much to talk about from this game. So get on board. The phone lines are open. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. You can also send your email in, webradio@patriots.com. So send those on into webradio@patriots.com. We're going to hear from Bill Belichick. I think we certainly want to know what he thought going into the overtime to choose the wind instead of the ball? I still don't agree with it. Or I shouldn't say I don't agree with it. I just would never do that. I understand why. I understand the thinking. I understand why he wants the wind, especially on a night like tonight. But I'm taking the ball to start the OT. I'm not taking the wind. So there's that. So we'll hear from Bill Belichick. We'll hear from Tom Brady. We'll hear from the Patriots locker room. There's a lot to get to in this game. A lot to talk about with this game. And we'll do it with your calls at 855-PATS-500. Just to give you an idea, the Patriots were down 24-0 at halftime. It seems like forever ago. It seems like weeks ago at this point. This game was a long game tonight. We're looking at almost a four-hour football game that was played in Foxborough. That seems like an eternity ago that the Patriots were down 24-0 and gave up the ball three times in the first quarter, not taking care of the football. Remember Stephen Ridley? Remember when he played for the Patriots? Oh, that was tonight? Oh. But they were down 24-0 at the half. In the last 50 years of football, NFL football, there have been 490 teams that have trailed by 24 points or more at halftime. And actually, tonight was 491. So, Kev Collins, our producer, 490 going into tonight, 490 times a team trailed at halftime by 24 points or more.
Yes, sir.
What do you think their record was in those
490
games?
Times.
Prior to tonight. 490
so it's
going to
add
times.
Up to 490. It so has to I add up I to would 490. I would say like 480 and 10 or yeah, no, 10 and 480. 10 wins and four, 300 and whatever it is.
Yeah,
10
it
wins.
Would be 10 and 480.
Yeah, 10 and 480.
Okay. You're high. You're high on that.
5.
It's 5 oh. and 485.
I was close. I was in the neighborhood at least.
You were in the neighborhood. You were thinking you're
for a kid. For a kid that literally can't feel his face right
yeah,
now.
I gotta our producer Kevin, his during the game duties, his yeah. in game duties require him to be on the sidelines and in the elements.
I feel like poor coach. You know, Coach John Fox. He's famous for that like Vaseline.
Yeah,
face.
You look red.
Yeah, I need some of that Vaseline because I can't feel my face.
You look red. So Kevin's thawing out during the course
during one of
the
these
show.
Breaks, you're going to have to come in here and just punch me in the face.
Yeah,
just so
get
I
the
can
blood
feel
flowing
my, yeah,
again.
Exactly.
Get the blood
exactly.
flowing again. 5-485. That was their record. And tonight, with the Patriots win, it's obviously now 6-485. That is how rare this is. This is very, very rare. I also believe this is the fourth largest comeback in terms of points in an NFL game. It's tied for fourth. Being down 24 and winning the game. Patriots won the game tonight. I thought they had zero chance. Down 24-0 at the half. None. You know, I'm sure there were some people that were still believing. I wasn't one of them. I'm okay admitting it too. And I gotta hand it to some people, by the way, Kev. At halftime tonight, there were people walking out of the stadium. A decent amount of people walking out of the stadium. I wouldn't say it was a mass exit, but it was a decent stream of people that at halftime said, I'm all set with this. It's cold. It's single digits. It's windy. My team is down 24-0, and there is no point to being there. I got to be at work in the morning. I'm going to go home. I'm going to take a nice hot shower. I'm going to go to bed. And I got to say this. I don't blame those people. I don't blame them. I don't think you're bad fans for saying this thing's over. Because I thought it was over, so I'm not going to say you were wrong. But I got to hand it to the people who stayed. To the people who stuck around and did not want to leave. The crowd was active in the second half tonight. Crowd was active. Crowd was into it. Right up until the final minutes of overtime. Chanting Wes Welker, chanting Welker late in the game. They were into it. The Ridley fumble early. This is the most disappointing part, crowd-wise, being in the stadium tonight. Was the crowd early on was so into this game. They were so very much into this game from kickoff. It was loud. I think maybe they had been out in the parking lot for a long time. It was an early arriving crowd for the game tonight. There were a lot of people getting ready and prepared in the parking lots, doing a little tailgating. They were into it right up until the Ridley fumble. The Ridley fumble sucked the air and just sucked the life out of the crowd here tonight. And then obviously you follow that up with two more turnovers, and you can understand why it was hard to recover from that. But the people that stuck around, they made it count. Good for you. Good for sticking around, and good for making it count. Heck of a job by the crowd at Gillette Stadium tonight. 855-PATS-500. We'll get to the good, the bad, and the ugly coming up, but I want to get right to your thoughts here on the phone lines at 855-PATS-500. Again, we'll hear from Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, go inside the Patriots locker room. We'll do all of these things. Patriots with a win tonight. A most improbable win tonight at Gillette Stadium, and it's a very important win for this team as well. In terms of how the day went for the Patriots, the other games across the league that could affect them, they did well. Teams like the Colts losing helped the Patriots today. Obviously, for the Broncos, they're still the number one seed, but down the road, this could help the Patriots if they're trying to capture a number one seed. They kept themselves in that hunt tonight by getting this win. It's a very, very important win for the Patriots to have this win. Also, Kansas City losing. They lose today to San Diego. So the chips have kind of fallen the Patriots' way, and then they were able to have a ridiculous comeback win. So many stars, really, for the Patriots in this game after the bad start. Tom Brady and Julian Edelman, and we're going to go down the line because there's plenty of them to talk about. You want to send in an email, do that as well, webradio@patriots.com. But again, the phone number, 855-PATS-500. We'll start things off with Mac in Las Vegas. Hey, Mac. Yo, Mac.
Yeah.
What do you got? You're on the air.
Hey, I am a long-time listener, first-time caller, and I would just like to say that I'm proud of that team and proud of the fans that stuck with them because I was there the whole way, hooting and hollering.
But in Las Vegas, though, where it's probably a little bit warmer than it is here.
No, it's about 45 degrees right now, so it's a little chilly.
Yeah, 45. It's 6 degrees here, Mac. It feels like...
Yeah, my...
6 degrees
come tell
right
that
now.
To my, come tell that to my face right now, Mac. 40, come on, man.
Come on, Mac. 45 is not 6.
No. You guys got it pretty bad over there, and you guys toughed it out, and that's huge. And I'm glad that Manning looked cold. He looked real cold. So.
Yeah, I think everybody on the field was cold.
I got a.
Thanks, Mac. Thanks. For
I got
the
a
call.
Tidbit on that Beetle.
What's that?
So you know, I got to wear one of these headsets like BB, you know, on the sideline. These Telex headsets.
What do you get in your headset?
There's no need to discuss that. But anyway, so I wear the headset, right? And so the mouthpiece. I'm a notorious spit talker. Like on sign, you don't want to get near me. You need a tarp, you know, when you're having a face to face conversation. So the little mouthpiece that I speak into that I spit on was frozen at the end of the game. My spit was on it, and it was frozen. I mean, I've never had that happen in 4 years.
Frozen spit.
I had frozen spit so that it was affecting my ability to communicate with the headset. Nobody could hear
frozen
me.
Frozen spit on
my,
the headset.
My frozen spit was muffling my voice. It's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so...
You needed a defroster.
It was so cold. So very cold. Bitter, bitter cold. And you can't really escape it. I mean, we're inside right now, but this is a stadium. This is a football stadium. So even the inside parts of a stadium, they're exposed to the elements, whether it be the big hallways underneath the stadium or the many, many doors in and out of the stadium. It's cold everywhere you go. You can't avoid it. It's cold. There's no way around that. But the Patriots battled through that. The cold didn't seem to affect them. When it came to playing in the second half, didn't seem to be a factor. And the Patriots got through that, and they come away with a big win tonight. And joining us now on the Ace Ticket Hotline from the Patriots locker room is a member of the winning team tonight, Dane Fletcher. Dane, congratulations on the win.
Thank you very much.
And we were just talking about the weather because it's been such a factor and it's been such a theme for this game tonight. Did the weather affect you or your teammates at all in this game?
I mean, to a certain extent, you just got to think about how you play and, you know, what they're going to do more so than anything. As far as me, you know, I'm from Montana, so I kind of like this weather.
You're used to it. The way football is supposed to be played, some would say, Dane.
Absolutely.
Dane, on the play in which you guys punted away late in the overtime and you ended up getting the football there, you know, just from a football standpoint, on that play, who is that on special teams when you are receiving a punt and you got to make sure that, you know, you don't end up touching the football if it's a fair catch? Who's the responsibility on a play like that?
As far as them?
Yeah, as far as Denver goes.
I mean, it's a tough play. It's just kind of tough. You know, that minute that he kind of gives the signal to everybody to get away, you know, sometimes there's not enough time for those gunners to get away from it and whatnot. So, and the jammers out there and just kind of everybody if you're hustling to the ball. So, you know, it's a tough play. And, you know, if you're on the kicking team and you play it right, you try and condense that field there and kind of bump everybody in. So then maybe it does bounce off somebody. And, you know, and great job by Ebner and, you know, Marquise and Slater and those guys for really getting down there and covering that ball.
Dane, at halftime, your team trailing 24-0, and things just weren't going your way in the first half of that game. What was it like in the locker room at halftime?
The good thing about this team is there was no speeches needed. You didn't need, you know, anybody to really step up and say anything. It's just we all knew, you know, we all knew that we came out just bland in the first half, and then everybody needed to participate in the second half together, which we did, and we all stepped up.
Dane, your head coach in the overtime, Bill decides to take the win. How much was the win factored into this game tonight in terms of, I don't know, how teams were playing? Did you think the win was a major thing out there?
I think it was, yeah. I mean, just how, you know, Manning and Brady, you know, had to run the ball compared to throw it, whether it was against or with the wind and whatnot. And so, you know, it affected the passing routes, more out routes, more shallow routes. You know, if you're going against the wind, just like anything.
Speaking of going to the ground and having to run the football, no Sean Moreno in this game rushed for 224 yards. Was he doing anything special in this game, or what allowed for him to do that?
You know, he played a great game, and he followed behind his blockers, and, you know, I give all props to him.
All right, well, Dane, I gotta let you know about this one statistic here before I let you go, as I was just talking about before you came on. Prior to tonight, there were 490 teams in the last 50 years of football in the NFL. 490 teams who have trailed by 24 points or more in a game. And only five of the 490 teams came back to win. So
wow.
This win tonight, very improbable and very special, and I'm sure you'll be talking about being a part of this one for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, that when you can beat a team, you know, that well-rounded in this environment and down like we were at half, obviously I won't forget about this one.
Well, Dane, congratulations on the win again, and get some rest and get ready for Houston.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
All right, Dane, take care. Dane Fletcher joining us on the Ace Ticket Hotline here on the Patriots.com postgame show. I'm Mark Bertrand. It's presented by Xbox One, the official console of the NFL. Our thanks to Dane Fletcher for taking a couple of minutes after this win for the Patriots tonight at Gillette Stadium. With that, let's get to the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen. And I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
All right, let's get to the good. Let's get to the bad. Let's get to the injured. I'm going to need some help here with the injured cap. Let's just start this right off the top. I got Marcus Cannon, right? Left the game, didn't come back. Who am I missing? What else went on?
Tlaib was on and off the field.
Yeah, Tlaib was on and off. I also saw Alphonso Dennard at one point. came up limping.
Yeah, there were a lot of guys in that secondary that missed significant time and that returned, but I believe Cannon was the only one that was officially sort of listed as.
And I watched the play that Cannon went down on again. It happened early.
Yeah.
What did they list it as?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look
knee.
Into it.
What did he get listed with? Ankle. He got listed with ankle. It was definitely lower leg.
Yes.
He got taken out.
A lower body injury.
He got taken out at the, it looked like he got taken out at the knee.
Yeah.
He got basically taken out, you know, in his, by where the calves are. We'll say between the knee and the ankle.
Yeah.
He got taken out from behind and hit the deck pretty hard. And so it happened early in the game and he did not return. So there's one injury. So you got, we got Will Svitek in there tonight.
Yeah. Ooh.
Helping out.
Ooh.
And,
if you could call it that.
Yeah. well, he was out there. He was out there and it was cold. So he was doing more than I was tonight.
Yeah.
So that's what you had going on that front. But you're right. Tlaib, Dennard, they were on and off the field tonight. But in terms of major injuries,
knock on wood, relatively decent shape.
Well, the Cannon one is a big injury.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
No.
I'm just saying outside of that, in terms of the guys who are hurt, that are playing hurt, like Dennard, like Tlaib. You didn't see them leave the game and not come back. So we're going to take that as a good sign.
Yeah, and to just shed more light on those, you know, like the Tlaib injury, for example, Beadle, they literally were trying, you know, that hip is still clearly bothering him, and the cold can't help it. And they were, you know, there were situations tonight where late in the game, he was trying to do everything he could to be out there, and you even had the Patriots call a timeout late in the game in regulation when before Denver was able to tie the game up on that last drive. You saw the Patriots call a timeout just to give him an extra 30 to 40 seconds to get that thing loose to get back on the field.
In terms of, let's go up, give you the rundown here of the good, the bad, and we've given you the injured. If we had to start with the bad, who we're going to put on the bad list for this game? I'm going to start with Stephen Ridley.
Yeah.
Going to start there.
And your boy Blount, too.
Yeah. My man Blount. Another fumble. Well, I shouldn't say for him. I'm just saying another fumble in that first quarter. Both Ridley and Blount fumble. But I'll at least say this for Blount. LeGarrette Blount, who's been a fan of the program, has joined us here on the show before.
Big fan of the Beatle.
He got lit up on his play.
Yeah.
Lit up. I mean, he got crushed.
The thing that frustrates me the most about those two is that before they were taken out of the game, respectively, they were running the ball well.
Yeah. No, the play that Blount fumbled on, he had a nice run. I mean, nice power run, and he got.
And if you recall, the run before Ridley's fumble was a nice 12-yard run down the right sideline. He goes out of bounds. He comes back in the middle of the field, starts waving his arms to try to pump the crowd up. The next ball, boom, the ball's going the other way.
So listen, Ridley's at the top of the bad list, and here's why. For all of his great running ability, and you just said he was running the ball well. He always runs the ball well in my mind. But his turnovers and his, I guess, tendency to cough up the ball in key moments is not worth putting up with that for his running skill. It's not. And I'd much rather have someone like Brandon Bolden in the game who's taking care of the football. We'll get to Brandon Bolden in a minute. But Ridley, with another fumble, his fourth of the year, and it comes in another key spot. The Patriots were setting the tempo here early in this game.
They were. They get a three and out in the first possession.
Yes.
Start marching it right down the field.
Yes.
Yep.
And he killed all of that. So it's not just the fact that it was giving up a touchdown and letting the Broncos go up 7-0, he took the wind right out of the sails. He took it right out. And I'm sorry, it's getting to the point where it's inexcusable. And it wasn't, again, I mentioned Blount getting hit hard. Ridley did not get hit hard. He did not get hit hard. And if you look where he's carrying the ball, it's just, it doesn't make any sense. There's no excuse for what he's got going on. So you know what I expect? I expect Stephen Ridley to be buried on the depth chart. That's what happens to Stephen Ridley now, because his turnovers are not worth the price. It's just not worth paying for that.
Can I give you one
running ability?
And
go
it's going to be a real general, mm-hmm. I don't know. Some people might view it as even a cop-out.
Yeah.
But the run defense as a whole.
Well, I think that's number two on the list.
You know, I mean, giving up, you know, Sean Moreno, don't get me wrong, is a very, you know, he's a respectable back. But to give
not really.
224 yards to that guy.
I got to be honest with you. That was my next point here. The run defense tonight was poor.
Denver averaged 5.8 yards per carry, which is just insane. And when you consider that nobody on the Broncos had more than an 18-yard run, they were just gashing up chunks of 7 and 8 yards at a time. It was obscene. But I will say this, Beadle. If you recall, on Denver's last offensive possession in overtime, they had the ball 1st and 10, I believe, inside the Patriot 40-yard line, somewhere around I think they had 1st and 10 at the 39, and if I memory serves me right. They rushed for -1 yard, a 3-yard gain, and then there was the incompletion to Welker. So when it really mattered there in overtime and they were getting right onto the edge of Matt Prater field goal range, the defense stood tall and they pushed him back and forced a punt. So that's the one glimmer of light that I can give them on the rush defense.
Well, that's very nice of you. That's very nice.
Do you recall that though?
Yeah.
It's a big series.
If you're looking at the defense, though, and we're talking about stopping the run.
Brutal.
It's bad.
Brutal. It was so frustrating.
Freaking bad.
Every play, Beadle, they'd run it on first down, and you'd be looking at second and 4 or less. Every single – the defense was constantly behind the sticks.
Now, you look at Denver offensively and what they did in this game. 412 total yards. Now you look at that number and you say, yeah, that's, you know, 412 yards. Let me guess. Manning threw for 305 and you got another 100 yards on the ground. No. 280 yards rushing tonight for Denver. They played the weather game. They did. They came in and tried to ground and pound. And you know what? They did. To the tune of 280 yards. On 48 rushing attempts. They ran the ball 48 times in this game. And when you're averaging 5.8 yards a rush, keep rushing. And that's what they did. And that's what I think when they got into the second half, when I'm guessing they figured their offense was going to be their best defense against the Patriots once the Patriots' offense started picking things up again. But they ran the ball 48 times. 48. And I'm just taking a look here at the and I'll get this number, which I will have to give you in a minute. But in terms of the rushing attack in the first half of the 48 times, yeah, it's pretty even between the first and second half. It was pretty balanced for the Broncos, but 280 yards on the ground is what they rushed for. And I'm sorry. No Sean Moreno is not that good. He just isn't. He's not 224 yards good. He's not 6.1 yards a carry good. He just isn't. His longest run of the night was 18 yards. It wasn't like he's ripping off these gigantic runs. Nope, just steady running forward. He did nothing special, and that's why I asked Dane Fletcher. You know, did he do anything special in your eyes to run for 224 yards? And I don't think he did. I don't think he did. So, the Patriots, in terms of stopping the run, yeah, they had a very bad night. Very bad. I would say that one of the other things was stopping some big third down plays on defense. I thought they struggled on third down a little bit in some key situations. I put Dante Hightower into that mix on the bad list defensively. That's what I would do. I'd put him on the bad list. But the Patriots rush defense, Stephen Ridley, those are the two absolute negatives. We mentioned LeGarrette Blount's fumble. All right, enough of that. Let's get to some of the good. We should get to some of the good. Tom Brady has now thrown for 350 career touchdowns. Tom Brady was excellent tonight. Tom Brady was far better than Peyton Manning was tonight. Tom Brady did not allow the wind to become some sort of major factor for him. He threw into the wind. And the Patriots were going into the wind in the third quarter. They were going into the wind. And so if you look at the way in which they performed in the third quarter, did the wind affect them? I don't think it did. This is how the Patriots' first four drives went of the second half. Let's make it first five. Touchdown, 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 field goal. They came out of the locker room and scored on five consecutive drives. Here's how the game started for the Patriots. Fumble, 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 punt, turnover on downs, punt. End of half. That was the first half. And then the second half goes touchdown, 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 field goal, punt, end of regulation, punt, field goal. And again, in that third quarter in which they scored three touchdowns, they're going into the wind. Going into the wind. Tom Brady didn't have problems throwing into the wind. He made it work. Tom Brady on the night, 34 of 50, 344 yards passing, three TDs, quarterback rating 107.4. Peyton Manning, just okay. 19 of 36, 150, two touchdowns and a pick, rating of 70.4. Peyton Manning didn't do a lot tonight. Did not do a lot. And so here we are talking about a Patriots win, 34-31, and there's just, again, there's a lot to get to here, and we'll continue to take your calls, and I want to get back to some of those calls right now, including Lucas in Pennsylvania. What's up, Lucas?
Yeah.
What's going on? What do you got?
All right, well, I'm a first-time caller. I love you guys' show. It's awesome. So the first thing I have is I'm still questioning some of the play calling on third down. I don't know why we went long on third and four there in overtime. And the second thing is, what do you know about Armon Armstead, the guy that we picked up in the offseason? He came out of the CFL. I don't know if you've seen his highlight tape. The guy's beast. He's like 300 pounds. And he's like 6'5", and he's fast. So that's the only thing I have.
All right, Brian, thanks for the call. And Armstead, he's out with non-football injury. I don't know what his status is at the moment. I don't think anyone really has a clear understanding of what his status is. In terms of the third and four call, I would agree that it's interesting, to say the least. I'm not a fan of the third and four call. Let's rewind for a second before I talk about third and four. Can we go to second and four for a second? Let's go to second and four. Tom Brady, incomplete pass to Kenbrell Tompkins, who was absolutely mugged on the play. Mugged. I mean, to the point where you say, what are we doing here? Like, how do you call a penalty on Rob Ninkovich on a third and seven play in regulation, right? In regulation, fourth quarter. They call pass interference on
Rob
Ninkovich.
That was the drive that ended up tying the game.
Yeah.
It was on Jacob Tammy at about the Patriot 11-yard line.
And I'll tell you what, they got the call right. The call was right. It was a good call. I shouldn't say good call. The correct call. Which is okay. If there's a penalty, you can throw the flag and you can call it. The same way the holding on Aqib Talib was the right call. They got that one right. Didn't affect the play. But it was the right call. And same thing on Rob Ninkovich. I think Jacob Tammy was looking for the flag there. I think Tammy was already throwing up his hand calling for the flag instead of going for the ball, which had still yet to reach him. If you watch that on replay, give me a break. And I think the Broncos are all about getting flags. I think they enjoy getting flags. But either way, how do they not throw a flag on that play? Which was clearly pass interference. Tom Brady was livid. Livid! Tom Brady went after the refs, chewed out the refs. It was absolutely inexcusable. Inexcusable. And so, with all that being said, it sets up a third and four. And so when they go deep left to Julian Edelman down the left sideline, and I didn't like the play on third down and four. On a third down and four, if you're passing, if it's a passing down for you in that situation, I'm looking to get to the sticks. I'm not looking to make a bigger play out of it than what I need. And I didn't like the play call. And the thing that I find the worst part about
especially
that,
especially to who it was going to.
Right.
I mean, that's not his bread and butter to go up down there and run those fly routes, you know?
Nope. Here's the worst part, which I think people forgot. Because Brady was so worked up, and now they did have a big third down coming up, the Patriots used a timeout there. They called a timeout. And that was the best play they had after a timeout? They even had extra time. I didn't like the play. I didn't like the play. It didn't lose them the game, but I didn't like it. That's how I felt. So, your phone number again is 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. Send in emails, webradio@patriots.com. We'll be getting to those emails, sorting through them, hearing what you have to say about the game at webradio@patriots.com. And if you want to send in a tweet, you can do that as well. You can tweet me at @Mark_Bertrand. Mark with a C, by the way. @Mark_Bertrand. We'll take your tweets, take your phone calls. We got open lines. Jump on board, 855-PATS-500. Send in your emails. We'll get to more of what you have to say about the game coming up, along with head coach Bill Belichick and quarterback Tom Brady. That's on the way.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center,
located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots Ticket Exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show presented by Xbox One, the official console of the NFL. Phone number for you is 855-PATS-500. Coming up next is the head coach of the Patriots, Bill Belichick. We'll hear from him. But before we do, let's hear from Joe in Pennsylvania. Hi, Joe. Joe.
Yes.
How's it going? What do you got?
Well, I just wanted to make a few comments. I thought that the a very positive thing from our defense was the Ryan interception. I think it really turned the momentum to the Patriots' way in the third quarter. But I want to make a negative comment with regards to the screen pass for 3rd and 20, which could have really cost us the momentum shifting to the Broncos. And I have one other comment to make, and I need clarification. If a field goal is attempted on third down and it's blocked, and the block goes back past or stays behind the line of scrimmage, and New England recovers it, can you have another chance at a field goal there?
No, you wouldn't have another chance at a field goal there. If the kick is blocked, no, you wouldn't have another shot.
Okay. But I just wanted to make those comments, and I did agree with the previous caller in regards to Lucas. The third down playing calling was a little bit questionable, and from, you know, the last week against Carolina, some of the same situations were not, the big third down plays were not converting, which, you know, gives some coronaries out there for Patriot Nation, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and to reverse that, on the other side, you talked about the big 3rd and 20 play, which could have been a big deal. as you mentioned, could have been a big deal. It luckily ended up not determining the game, as the Patriots weren't affected by it. They were still able to win, but it was a 3rd-and-20 from the Denver 33. And Monte Ball in that play goes for 31 yards. 31 yards to the Patriots' 36-yard line. And that was, again, coming earlier in the game, so it wasn't the end of the world. But that was a drive that was kept alive on a 3rd-down play, 3rd-and-forever. And that's a drive that the Broncos end up scoring on. They ended up scoring on that to make it 24-0. So in terms of, you know, there being drives in which the Broncos got handed the football, and obviously early on they did, and they scored points on defense. The things that I'm concerned about with the Patriots defense tonight, and I think they played okay, were key third downs like that one, and obviously the way the Broncos were able to run the football on the ground. I'm sorry. Anytime you let up 280 yards on the ground, you didn't have a good night stopping the run. So Patriots run defense and situationally allowing some third downs to be converted, especially that one. That one sticks out among all the others. Stands out as a play that you look at and say, what is going on? Now, there were also some other good third down plays. Later on a 3rd-and-5, Peyton Manning ended up getting sacked for -8 yards. Ball was loose on that play. So there were some good stops on third down. The Broncos 50% on the game on third down tonight. But on the whole, the defense, yeah, there were some things they could do better. But I'm definitely not picking them apart or hammering them or anything like that. Patriots get a win, 34-31, the final. A very much improbable win. I was giving you the nugget before about the 490 teams prior to tonight that had been down 24 points or more and how they went 5-485. Here's another nugget for you. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Actually, let's start with Tom Brady. Has never been down 24-0 at halftime in his career. Has never come back from 24 points down until tonight. He'd come back 21 points before, not 24. Here's another one for you. Now, that's Brady. Bill Belichick, in his head coaching career in the NFL, has never been down 24-0 at halftime. That includes the Cleveland days. Tonight, he was down 24-0, and Bill Belichick's team overcame it and won the game. And he looked happy on the sideline at the end of the game. And this is what Bill Belichick had to say after the game tonight at Gillette Stadium.
You know, really proud of the way they fought back. You know, they spotted a team like Denver 24 points. And, you know, just took it one play at a time, kept fighting all the way through. And, you know, it took, we say play 60 minutes. It took a lot more than that tonight. But, you know, really proud of the way they played, the way they hung in there. Certainly wasn't a very good first half in any area. But we just stuck it out. And, you know, in the end, kept making some plays there. Had some several plays in the kicking game. Got a couple turnovers there in the second half after giving them up in the first half. And those are big for us. But kicking game was good. Our coverage was good. And, you know, it was a great punt by Ryan there at the end. You know, getting it up there high and making it a tough, a tough play. And, you know, we're able to take advantage of it. And, you know, and Steve knocked it through. So, you know, we had a lot of guys who are heroes tonight. And, you know, it's a great night to be a part of, you know, recognizing the military and Veterans Day and just the whole, you know, what we've gone through in the last few weeks relative to, you know, the league recognizing all those things and President Kennedy's 50th anniversary assassination, the other day and all that. So, you know, it's good to be a part of all that, good to be on the winning end of it. And, you know, now we'll turn the page and head to Houston. But we'll enjoy this one for a little while, a couple hours anyway.
Hey, Bill, can you give us your thought process for the coin toss in overtime? What caused you to take the win versus giving
the win? It was a strong win. I mean, we just had to keep him out of the end zone, obviously. And, I just felt like the win would be an advantage if we could, you know, keep him out of the end zone on that first drive. So, were able to do that. It was this, the win was significant in the game. It was definitely significant.
Can you talk about Julian and what he brought tonight with two touchdowns? And,
yeah, well, you know, Julian did a great job. First of all, he did a good job of handling the ball, you know, especially in the third and fourth quarter there. But, you know, made a couple, you know, good runs with the ball in his hands. Also, you know, got up and caught the ball. And, you know, the end of route he got there gave us the field position in the overtime was, you know, was a big play. I mean, look, we had a lot of guys step up. I mean, you could rattle off, you know, 35, 40 guys here and, you know, be talking about every one of them. But he, you know, but Julian's a tough competitor. I mean, all those guys are.
So what did you as a coaching staff forecast for the second half, down 24-0, how the game might change in terms of what Denver would do and how you guys had to approach down 24 with 30 minutes left?
How the game would change? I mean, I don't know why Denver would do anything different. They're up 24-0. We didn't expect them to do much different.
Kind of went into a little turtle action, which really didn't help them.
That's what they did the first half. I mean, they ran the ball in the first half. Well, I would have done the same thing they did. They ran the same plays that they hurt us with in the second half and the first half.
Off the fumble return, and then they had a great field position.
I mean, they ran the ball. I don't know, maybe we're seeing different games there. I mean, I think they hurt us with a running game in the first half, and they continued to run the ball. They all were successful with it all night. What did they end up with?
20 for Moreno.
So it didn't surprise me that they kept doing what they were doing. I mean, you have a 24-0 lead. You don't go in there at halftime and say, oh, let's change what we're doing. So they did. Fortunately, we made some plays. We finished our drives, got the ball in the end zone. We turned it over a couple times, and we're able to get back in the game and make it a one-score game there in the fourth quarter when we had the win. So that was it was key for us to be able to, you know, get back and make it a game in the third quarter. Turnovers obviously helped, and finishing the red zone helped.
Could you feel the momentum shift? I mean, you guys came out at halftime. What made you click so well in the second half, especially on that opening drive, Cole?
Well, I thought we were moving the ball pretty well in the first half, but we turned it over. We couldn't finish the drives, and they ended up not only with the ball, but one time they ended up with a touchdown. And so, you know, you can't move the ball when you're losing it. You know, we got to hang on to it. So once we started doing that and converting a few third downs, you know, we had some big plays in the red area. I mean, this is a big red area game. You know, we're able to get the ball in and not get held to field goals. So that was huge for us, four touchdowns.
Was it a surprise they ran the ball the way they did, given what their passing game stuff?
Well, they have a good running game, too. I mean, I've been saying all week they're a well-balanced offense. I mean, I don't know anybody else that wouldn't see that. I mean, it's hard to stop everything with those guys. They got a lot of good players.
You mentioned the wins and the decision, but obviously you had a lot of confidence in your defense. What did you like about the way that they played in the second half?
Well, I thought we hung in there. I mean, we made some plays in the passing game. We played better on third down. You know, I thought our guys competed well. And they're a tough offense to play against. I mean, look, you're not going to, you know, it's hard to hold them to, you know, hold them down yardage-wise, hold them down point-wise. But, you know, I thought we hung in there and battled them. I thought our corners, you know, really had a I mean, they deserve a ton of credit, you know, Tlaib, Arrington, you know, Alfonso. I mean, they're all, you know, I mean, nobody's 100% in that locker room, but they're all banged up. They fought through it. Just wanted to go out there and compete. You know, Devin, Duran, you know, then we have Marquise Cuisse at the end, you know, jumped in there, Logan Ryan. I mean, those guys, they just went up there and competed against a great group of receivers. And you know, they made some plays, but, you know, we made some too.
Is there anything else on the win with the decision to take it in overtime? Have you gone back, looked at other games with the new overtime system?
No.
And tried to figure out if what makes sense?
Nope. That was it. If it hadn't been a strong win, we would have taken the ball.
Where did the goal miss and what you settled in
that second half? Really? Yeah, I thought he stepped in. He gave us some quality plays and, you know, ran hard, broke some tackles. I mean, you know, he's a good back. All our backs have been productive for us. Anything else?
One question, Coach.
Yeah, sure.
The fans want to know, who is the best linebacker you've ever coached out of the city of Indianapolis, Indiana?
Just Roosevelt Coleman.
Just a survey.
All right. Thanks.
Roosevelt Coleman there in the room asking some questions there at the end of the press conference. When the team wins, you can do things like that.
Some hard-hitting questions.
Yeah, some hard-hitting questions. The best linebacker you've ever coached out of Indianapolis, Indiana, where Roosevelt Colvin hails from. What was he doing here tonight? I didn't see him.
Helping out with fifth quarter, I think.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Always good to have Roosevelt Colvin around. One of the very, very personable Patriots of the last, I don't know, decade or so. 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. That is the phone number. A number of emails coming in. Webradio@patriots.com. There's a theme building here. Rachel writes in, to keep Manning from beating them through the air, Ridley should spend the next week in practice in one-on-one fumble drills. I'd like to see more Edelman, Thompson, and Fletcher. He's got pop. Amendola was quiet tonight. And the question was, and I'm sorry, I read this incorrectly. The subject line continues into the email. The question was, you guys don't think Bill Belichick was allowing the run to keep Manning from beating them through the air? Question mark. I mean, maybe, but was that a good plan? I mean, when Peyton Manning on a couple of occasions needed to beat him, he did. I mean, they still let up the 400 yards of offense. So on the whole, I think they could have been better on the ground.
Yeah.
They could have been better on the ground. They could have, I mean, if you want to look at it like that, to make yourself, I don't know, sleep better tonight, fine.
I mean, I criticize the Patriots. Do whatever you want. Denver, with the elements, Beadle, thought our best chance is to try to get some chunks and gash them on the ground. And the Patriots just couldn't adjust to it the entire game. There wasn't a significant period of that game where the Patriots were stuffing that run. They just couldn't figure it out.
So if you look at the way in which, I mean, I don't know, 19 of 36, that's not exactly terrible. 19 of 36, it would have been higher had it not been for some drops on his own team. I understand it's great that the Patriots only let up 132 yards of passing. It's terrific. And it is good that Peyton Manning's only, you know, completing just over 50% of his passes in the game. It's good. I mean, but it wasn't like there couldn't have been improvements in the run game. I mean, you could have just as easily stopped them in the passing game, which you did. You accomplished that. But in the run game, letting up 280 yards, you couldn't have been any better. That was the game plan. That was the game plan going in. Let up 280 yards. That way, they'll only throw for 132. I don't buy that at all. Sorry, Rachel. I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you emailing in. But I don't agree with that. And you're not the only person to suggest that tonight. But I disagree with that. 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. We have not spent a good chunk of time talking about Julian Edelman, who was fantastic tonight. Julian Edelman.
We will hear from him, too, at one point here.
Will we?
We will.
9 catches, 110 yards, and 2 touchdowns. 9 catches on 11 targets.
How about that for a big-time tease?
I mean, his 2 touchdowns were legit touchdowns, too. One of which he catches going in the end zone, in the back corner of the end zone, on just a nifty play. Great throw. Great awareness of where the ball was by Julian Edelman. Great catch. It's just a pretty play. Very pretty play. And then the other one, he catches at what, about the 10-yard line? And made a cut and turned back to the end. I mean, 2 awesome touchdowns. Julian Edelman was great tonight. Awesome night for Julian Edelman. Huge part of this victory for the Patriots. His 9 catches for a 110. Rob Gronkowski was very good in this game, too. 7 catches, 90 yards, and a touchdown. 10 targets for Rob Gronkowski tonight. I thought he was a huge part of the offense and moving the football. Shane Vereen, in terms of receptions, he was second on the team tonight with 8 for 60 yards. 8 on 11, 11 targets, that is. Shane Vereen, in his 2 weeks back, has made an impact in the passing game. Now, we did have a drop early on. Is that second quarter? Right in his hands. In his hands! And he dropped the ball. And he usually has sure hands, which was surprising. But he, on the whole, had a great night. Edelman, Gronkowski, Vereen, all huge contributors on the offense. I'll tell you, Kenbrell Tompkins, quiet night, his 6 for 56, but I'll take it. I'll take that effort and that contribution from Kenbrell Tompkins. Danny Amendola didn't do a lot tonight, 3 catches, and Brandon Bolden had a catch as well. It was a 1 yard grab, 1 catch for 11 yards, and that again coming when he got some action in this game. And I want to put Brandon Bolden on the good list because he came in, he rushed 13 times, he averaged 4.5 yards a carry, and Brandon Bolden came into the game and steadied things for the Patriots offense in terms of their rushing attack. Brandon Bolden provided a pair of hands that the Patriots could trust in this game after the fumbles by Blunt and the fumble by Ridley. Brandon Bolden is a good player to have coming off your bench in that situation, and he was good for the Patriots tonight, and he deserves a lot of credit for the way in which he played in this game. I do have a question. Offensively, what happened to Aaron Dobson? Where is Aaron Dobson? And I don't have an answer on that. I just have a question. I question that. Where was Aaron Dobson in this game? What happened to Aaron Dobson? Maybe we'll find out in the coming days, but he was not a major part of things. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. And again, your email's coming in, webradio@patriots.com. Here's some good and bad from John. John writes, the good is Brady passing, catching Gronk, Vereen, Tompkins, Collins' last play on Welker, special teams, Brady and Gronk, TD celebration. Yeah, what were they yelling on that? If you know, give us a call at 855-PATS-500. I was trying to figure that out. I could see it on the monitor, but I couldn't make out what they were yelling. The bad, run defense, run offense, and turnovers. That all from John. John, thank you for the email. Appreciate that. Jamie Collins tonight, put him on the good list. Jamie Collins was an animal tonight. He was all over the field. He was coming back, making plays. Jamie Collins had a fine night. I think this is probably the best game I've seen Jamie Collins play this year. He had a noticeable impact on the field. So Jamie Collins was pretty good in this one. Joel from Connecticut writes into webradio@patriots.com. Hey, Mark, I need to tell you, the first quarter was the most disgusted I've ever been with this team. But in my heart, I knew we would fight the fine fight. Thankfully, we did, and I'm glad we beat the Broncos because so many people were on their bandwagon, and it's nice to know we took a wheel off of it for tonight. I'd also like to say Jamie Collins did pretty darn good today. He hit hard today, and he was as aware as he could be around the ball as often as possible. Totally agree. I just got finished talking about that. Joel, Jamie Collins was very good. He had a great night for Jamie Collins tonight. And I think this is good. You're seeing some development with Jamie Collins. You're seeing him get better, which is great to see at this time of year. He also writes, I also wouldn't overreact to Ridley's fumble. Brady fumbled too. Should we bench him now too? Solder got beat a lot today. Should we bench him too? Edelman fumbled too. Is he done too? Blunt fumbled too. There were a lot of things that contributed to the first quarter massacre, but Ridley gets more criticism because of last week's fumble. I think it's just unfortunate and something that makes him lose a starting job, but I think he'll earn it back. Good win tonight, and it played out like I predicted, so I'm extra pleased. Joel, a running back is different than a quarterback. A running back is different than an offensive lineman getting beat. And when you're a running back, a very key element of your job is taking care of the football and not turning it over. That's just a key part of that job. There is a higher expectation on your running back to take care of the football when it comes to fumbling than your quarterback. No, Tom Brady should not be fumbled. You know why? Tom Brady doesn't have a pattern of fumbling the football. He fumbled it tonight. It happens. Running backs fumble, and it happens. But Ridley now has an alarming pattern of when he fumbles and how he fumbles. He fumbles at key moments when, you know, I don't know, pressure's a little bit more, spotlight's on a little bit more, it's more meaningful for your team, you could potentially have more of an impact. And the way in which he fumbles, which is barely getting hit, is a joke. It's an absolute joke. Him turning the ball over is just not worth it. His running ability, not worth it. I don't know if anybody's running ability is worth it for consistent turnovers. And tonight it turned into automatic points for Denver. That was a huge fumble early on in the game. Doesn't always have to be late to be a key moment. And that fumble tonight was, again, what's his excuse? What is the excuse for the fumble? I can't figure one out for him. So did he deserve to be benched tonight? Yes. Does he deserve to be benched going forward? Probably. I don't know if that'll happen. But if he slides down on the depth chart because of his performance tonight, he has nobody to blame but himself. Nobody. Lynn writes in, at what point do you think BB gives up on Ridley and releases him from the team? Or is he still a work in progress? First of all, he will not be released from the team this season. So if that's a thought, get that out of your head. There's no way that happens. Does it happen in the offseason? Probably not. Listen, Stephen Ridley, we talked about his running ability. Just because he's not your featured guy and you're not handing it off to him 15, 20 times a game, that doesn't mean that he's off the team. It means that he's not the featured guy and he's not number one on the depth chart. You got to go with somebody else who you trust more. Chris writes in an interesting question. Chris is in Austin, Texas, and he writes, if Ridley doesn't fumble on that first drive, do you think the Pats even get in that hole? It's a very valid question, Chris. And I mentioned this earlier about the crowd and the team having forced a three and out early, getting the ball, marching down the field, and then the Ridley fumble happened and everything changed. It sucked the life out of the team. It sucked the life out of the stadium. It was a pretty terrible feeling when that happened. Pretty bad. So we know that it was possibly, and again, the Patriots were going down the field there. They appeared to be moving the ball pretty well early on in the game. Can we say it was a 14-point swing? Can we be so bold to say that? I mean, the Patriots were at the Denver 40. They were into Denver territory. It was a second down and short play that he fumbled on. We'll say at the very least it was a 10-point swing. Let's say at the very least Patriots probably would have ended up with three there on that drive, the way they were moving the football. Let's say it was a 10-point swing. That alone is a huge hole. Then on top of it, you just add the way in which things followed after that. I think it had an effect on the team early on. I think it absolutely did. Because I think this team knew, I think both teams knew going in tonight, that they needed to not make those kinds of mistakes and that the turnover battle was going to be so key. And there ended up being a lot more turnovers in this game than I thought there was going to be. Adam wants to know, how much momentum does this give the Patriots going forward? I'm not sure about momentum. I don't know how much I buy into momentum. But here's what I think this win does for the Patriots. I think it gives them a sense of confidence going forward. And that's not the same as momentum. Will there ever be a point again going forward this season? And I just gave you how improbable of a win it was for the Patriots tonight after being down 24-0. I don't think there will be another point this season when the guys on that team, and Dane Fletcher had a great answer with us when he came on and joined us from the Patriots locker room, when I said, what was it like at halftime? And he said, the greatest thing about this team is there doesn't need to be a speech. We don't need a speech. We don't need anything like that. We don't need that cliche junk. He didn't say that, but I'm paraphrasing. He said, that's the great part of this team. We don't need a speech. We know what we have to do. Well, that is awesome to begin with. It's great. But on top of that, will there ever be another point this season in which the Patriots players on this team at any point give up or don't play hard until the final whistle of the game or don't believe in what it is that their team can accomplish? After having such an improbable win tonight, it instills a level of confidence and it allows players to play with confidence going forward, and I think that's huge. I think it's a huge confidence boost. I don't think that, you know, you come back, you win tonight, it just carries over into the next game, but I think it does matter. I think it gives you a different level of confidence. I think it gives you that boost. I think it gives you a reason to believe in yourself even when you're facing some adversity as a team. And this team has faced adversity already. You know, with their injuries that they've suffered this year and the guys that are still battling injuries, that's been some adversity. But now you've got adversity in terms of within the game. Within the game, finding yourself down, being able to dig deep and come back and win a football game tonight. It was very impressive, and I think the Patriots, as I said to Dane Fletcher, he'll be talking about being a part of this game for a long time to come. Because Brady, Manning, Belichick versus Manning, these games, there's only going to be a, let's say, less than 20 of them before these guys are done. And this was a pretty wild one tonight. And so I think they'll be talking about this one for a long time. Along those lines, there's an email coming in from DVV. And DVV writes, if there's a lesson, we keep pounding. The Pats will not give up. We have a special team, a team that other teams want to be. When a team is at its lowest, we don't have divas or malcontents. So, there you go. They don't have the divas, or they don't need the locker room speech, which I found was a great answer. Dane Fletcher, the best thing about this team is we don't need a speech. We know what we had done wrong. Vishon from New York writes in, the games like these are when it's so great to be a fan of the Patriots in football, to see the toughness of this team both schematically and in terms of persistence is riveting. I think back to the 49ers game last season when they had that talented arsenal at receiver and tight end and they didn't have the toughness to finish. This year, I feel like this team is tough because of all the turbulence they've experienced in the past months. It's great to see a team put adversity behind them and to be able to move on. I feel like they are turning into a championship team. This is, again, one of those types of teams that's types of wins that can solidify a team. Dan writes in, wow, an incredibly significant win. The only problem now is how to go to bed with all this adrenaline. Big win with the Jets and Miami dropping a game. Congrats to the Patriots. Big win. You know, the Jets and Miami did lose today. I got to be honest, I don't even care about those two. I'm more concerned with the Chiefs losing. I'm more concerned with the Colts losing. And I'm now loving the fact that the Patriots get a win and they force Denver to lose as well. The Patriots, in terms of their seeding and the AFC playoff picture, hit it out of the park today. Hit it out of the park. So the phone number for you again is 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. Let's go back to the phones. Anthony's in San Diego. Anthony.
Yes.
What do you got?
Yeah, Matt, for you, right?
What's that? Can't really hear you, Anthony.
I had to blow somebody up.
Justin's in Missouri. What's up, Justin? Oh, Justin dropped off.
That's okay. Everyone's tired.
All right. Well, 0-2 there. 0-2. I tell you what, line up your calls at 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number. We'll get to more of those calls coming up next.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots Ticket Exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
As promised, let's go to the quarterback of the Patriots, Tom Brady. And welcome back to the Patriots postgame show. I'm Mark Bertrand. It's presented by Xbox One, the official console of the NFL. Again, the Ace Ticket Hotline is 855-PATS-500 if you do want to check in here and get your final thoughts in before we wrap up on the postgame show. Tom Brady had a terrific game tonight. Tom Brady outshined Peyton Manning in every way possible. Tom Brady did not let the wind affect his throws in the third quarter. Tom Brady led his team back, and the Patriots got a huge win over the Broncos at home tonight. And here's what the Patriots quarterback said after the comeback win.
Well, I talk about it all the time, so you're bored of hearing it, but our execution was a lot better, and we didn't give ourselves a chance in the first half with the turnovers. And they got a big lead, and we found ways to just put one play, in front of after the next one, and the next one, next one, and it ended up scoring some points. So we got the lead, and then we didn't do much after that until the defense really bailed us out. So it was a good team win. That's a real good football team, and I'm glad we got the win.
How about the guy who just scored?
Well, he's been so dependable and consistent all year for our team. He's been the one veteran player on offense that's been in there. We've been around, so he did a great job. He always does a great job. So he's tough, smart, he's disciplined. It's fun to see him do well because he deserves it.
Tom, that's not that year you talked about mental toughness and the team to be mentally tough. What does it say about this team to be like that tonight?
Well, that's what it's all about. You got to put a lot of the stuff aside. You got to forget about what happened in the first half because it was a terrible half of football. I don't even know what you. What you coach at that point, there's just, so we came in and we, talked about some of the things they were doing and then what we needed to do, which we needed to put together some good plays, which would make a good drive. And then if that happened to be a few good drives, and then we'd be back in the game, which ended up happening. So we just, we found a way to get back in it and then took the lead and, had some chances where we could have got a bigger lead. So, we'll learn from those things and, try to get better. I get pretty excited. So he's, he's been close a few times and, he's gotten in a few times. So I was pretty pumped up. I'm always pretty pumped up after we score. So it's nice to celebrate. Usually I'm pretty grumpy to be around. So that's about the only time I get really excited. So after we score touchdowns. Yeah, he made some real. Yeah, he made some big plays for us, and he made some big plays last week. And he gets his opportunity, he takes advantage of it. So that's a great part about him. He's a real fighter. He's a tough kid, and he wants to do what's best for the team. He's got a great attitude, and I love being his teammate. So hopefully, he keeps making more of him.
Guys getting an identity. It's scary to think about that at this point in the season. There's other options starting to formulate.
Yeah, it's a little bit better in a night like tonight where it was, the weather conditions are a factor. You got to figure a way to do different things, and they just try to stop those things, and then you got to figure out something else to do. So we've been a little bit more consistent on offense. We need to keep being that way and keep really leading the charge, and it was a good win. So last one, and I'm going to let you guys get home. Jackie.
Maybe like you had a little better protection in the second half, a little more time to throw the ball. How much did that help you?
Yeah, that definitely helped, and I thought the offensive line played really hard, and that's a good pass rushing group. Von Miller is one of the best in the league, and Sean Phillips is a really great player. So there's some inside guys that put some pressure on us early, and we found a way to really get the tempo of the game and then settle into our protections, what was working, and we did a better job handling there in the second half. So thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Patriots quarterback Tom Brady after the win. We're going to hear from Julian Edelman as well and hear what Julian Edelman had to say after the game tonight. Got a great email here that relates to the playoff picture, and we're going to get to more of your emails as well at webradio@patriots.com. Brendan writes in, hey, I was just wondering, who do you want to win next week, Chiefs or Broncos? And who do you think out of those two teams is the best chance of winning out? If you say Broncos have the best chance of winning out, do you want the Chiefs to win? It's a great, great question as it relates to next week's game. With the loss tonight, though, for the Broncos, they're still one game better than the Chiefs, or I should say they're tied up with the Chiefs now. Right? Do I have this right? I'm losing my mind. It's so late at night. 9-2 and 9-2. Yes, they're the same record. As I said in the pregame show and so eloquently laid out, that win or lose tonight, they would be tied. But right now, Broncos with the tiebreaker, they still have the number one seed. I think Denver does have the best chance of winning out. And you know what? Now that we're looking at this question, we're going to have to look at their schedules. Here's who Denver has left. They have the Kansas City game next week. And then it's Tennessee, San Diego, both of those at home. And then they go on the road to finish up against at Houston and at Oakland. Kansas City, meanwhile, has the game against Denver. Kansas City then plays a tougher schedule, in my mind, against Washington. They do play Oakland as well. But then they have Indianapolis and San Diego. And San Diego is, again, also on the Denver schedule. But I would say Washington and Indy are a tougher draw than Houston and Tennessee. That's how I feel. Because that's what it is. San Diego and Oakland both remain on each of their schedules. But Kansas City, I think, has tougher matchups, Washington and Indy, as opposed to Tennessee and Houston. So I do agree that I think the Broncos have a easier road to winning out than the Chiefs. So I'm rooting for the Chiefs. I'm rooting for the Chiefs in next weekend's game between the Chiefs and the Broncos. Yes, that's the way it's going to go. And hopefully I've explained that well enough so that you can understand it, even at this late hour. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500, a very long day here at Gillette Stadium. Brendan, thanks for the email. Much appreciated. Colby writes in with the good and the bad. Bad Ridley fumble, run defense, Peyton not realizing Arrington was on Thomas. Aqib Talib was on Demaryius Thomas for the night. The good. Second half, Brady, Edelman, Gronk, Talib, Jamie Collins, and Dane Fletcher. Dane Fletcher, who we had on, was great. Guy forced a fumble, was very active in the Patriots' defense. He's definitely on the good list. Also, Colby writes, do you believe this game could change the season like the Red Sox game where they scored 6 runs in the ninth? Colby in California. Again, I don't really buy into the whole momentum thing the way some people do. I think in baseball, the momentum can be a factor because you play every single day. So the games happen pretty quick. And it's, you know, there's not a lot of game planning in that sport. Here in football, you play once a week. The game plans are so vastly different week to week. The preparation is very different week to week. You tend to put your wins behind you. I mean, how often do we hear players? We heard Bill Belichick, I'm going to enjoy this for at least a few hours. Before you then get on to the next thing, I think it builds confidence. That's for sure. I just don't know that just, you know, momentum. What is that? What is momentum? I mean, just because they win tonight, they're going to keep winning? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it works out for them. Aaron writes in, hey, Mark, huge win. Question, is Ridley as good as cut? No, he's not as good as cut. He's not as good as cut. He's not getting cut. And his role will probably decrease, but I don't think we've seen the last of Stephen Ridley. His fumbles are inexcusable, but it doesn't mean he's gone. Does not mean he's gone. Let's see. Get another email in here. Hey there, guys. I can tell you something about tonight's game. It was 3:30 in the morning here in Spain. when the Pats were down 24 points, and I was about to go to sleep. But then I decided to put my number 12 shirt on and keep watching the game. It's now 6:40 in the morning, and after all, I thought I might have turned crazy. Best game ever. Good night or good morning. That's from Danny in Spain, who checks in with us from time to time. Thanks, Danny. Thanks for staying up. Glad you could stay up and see the end of this one. Trey from Dallas writes in, the name of this game, Tale of Two Halves. First half was so bad. I couldn't find the strength to be mad. I felt like the defense was good for most of the game. And when the offense got going, we can see what this team can be. Great to fight back and great to get this win. Trey also gives us his good, Brady, Gronk, Edelman, Vereen, Chandler Jones, Rob Ninkovich, and Dane Fletcher. The bad run defense. Totally agree. Run defense was bad in this game. It was bad. Stefan in Germany with his good and the bad. The good, Brady, Edelman, Gronk, Tompkins, Gostkowski, Fletcher, Jones, special teams. The bad, once again, the refs. They did their best to screw the Pats 2 weeks in a row. The ugly, the entire first half, especially ball handling and play calling. Again, that refs, that inability to call that pass interference on Tompkins in overtime was ridiculous. Was absolutely ridiculous. Dan the BI man writes in, got to give it to the defense and Brady. I was going to call the Pats out and was never going to watch another Pats game this season. Defense played well in the second half. Brady played out of this world. No picks. BB should win outright. Go against Del Rio. Easy win there. Great comeback. This will have an after effect later in the season and postseason. I like it. Winning the game on the field. I like it. Dan, this is not an easy win. This was not easy by any stretch against the Broncos. And I would not think that a matchup with the Broncos would be an easy win. That's one thing I disagree with you on. Thanks for the email. Good stuff. But that one part about it being an easy win, sorry, I don't buy that. And John Fox is coming back, by the way. As we heard in the pregame, John Fox is coming back to the Broncos on Wednesday. So the Jack Del Rio tenure as the interim head coach is probably coming to a close here. Another international emailer, James in Milan, stayed up all night to watch the game. What a finish. I propose a new Patriots Twitter hashtag, hashtag in Brady we trust. Well, we've always heard the in Belichick we trust, and that's a new one. In Brady we trust. Maybe it will catch on. Brady connected with Julian Edelman a bunch of times in this game tonight. Julian Edelman had a nice game for the Patriots. On the night, Edelman finishes with 9 catches for 110 yards, 2 touchdowns. And this is what he had to say after the win.
This is what Belichick feels like, I guess, huh? Coach preaches to be a tough, smart football team. And we weren't playing like that in the first half. And you know, we went in there and we basically said, let's just start over and play each play and play for the next play. And I try to win it all in one play. And we went out there and made some plays and we did that. So we've done it a few times. We've executed situations like that. And it was good to come off a short week and be able to go out there and get a win.
Scotty O, our special teams coordinator, usually puts us in the right position. We'll have a scouting report on where he's going to kick it. And as a returner, we always try to, you know, get the ball. And if you can't, you got to yell a Peter call and make sure you guys aren't there. I didn't see the play, so I can't comment on it. I've been in some crazy turnarounds. So, I don't know. It's the most recent one. Like I said, it was good to show the mental toughness of the team, and we've had to come back and drive the ball and in crucial situations a few times this year, and we've executed it pretty well, even in the loss against the Panthers. I mean, you can take away from that we had a minute and we went down the field and we were able to still have a chance to win the game, and you know, that's what you want to do, is have a chance to win the game. And we did that, and we were able to execute it out this time. Well, I fumbled a punt after I muffed one, so that's not that good. But, you know, I haven't even thought about it. You know, today my number was called a few times, and I was able to, you know, have a couple opportunities, and just try to take advantage of them. You know, a couple of games back, it was KT, AD, Danny. I mean, that's our job. Our job is to go out there, get open, and catch football, and I was able to do that a few times. It was a pretty, decent effect in the kicking game more so than the passing game. But I mean, both sides had to deal with it, and we were able to. I mean, we muffed one, so I mean, I'll probably get yelled at for that one. So we'll see. You know, we've gone out and we've practiced a bunch on. You know, opening the third quarter up, we've kind of struggled with that in the past few games, a couple games back, and you know, coaches created the situation in practice where we simulate coming off of, you know, halftime and doing the third quarter stuff, and I think it's been really working, and you know, that's what we did. You know, you looked at everyone in the huddle, and everyone was, you know, all business because. We knew we just turned the ball over too many times in the first half, and you know, we were able to not turn the ball over and get a couple, and defense did their job. We did our job. We were able to play complimentary football, handle the punts and the kickoffs, and you know, it was a good team comeback victory. You have to ask Coach on that. I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, that's a good answer. I'm not answering your question. Go ask my coach. Go ask my coach. Colby in California wrote back in, webradio at patriots.com. Tlaib was great on Thomas throughout the game. When Tlaib was out on a few plays toward the end of the game, and we talked about that earlier, he was off late. Dennard missed some plays in the game. When Tlaib was out, Arrington ended up on Thomas, and Cole, I think, may have been on Welker. If I'm Peyton and I see Arrington on Thomas, I'm going to Thomas, knowing how bad Arrington can be on the outside. I actually remember a play in which I think Thomas ran a crossing route and Arrington was on the play, or maybe Cole. It was one of the two. So I do know that happened, and one of them kind of peeled off the play. I forget when that was. But anyway, now I get what you're talking about. But for the majority of the game, it was Tlaib on Thomas. And Tlaib got the better of that matchup. Tlaib against those bigger, more physical receivers, that's a better matchup for him. And with the hip, that slows him down a little bit. Obviously, the bigger receivers are a better matchup for him. But that's interesting. That's something to go back and watch. Colby, that's a good pickup there. I wonder what that matchup looked like if you're looking at the all-22 tape, as they say, which will come out later this week. And you can get a look at it on NFL.com with the proper subscription, which I highly recommend, by the way, the NFL Rewind. So I'm going to have to take a look. That's a really interesting point, Colby, and thanks for writing another email. Again, at this late hour, staying with us here, staying late on the program. Lynn writes in, wondering if there were any post-game statements from Wes Welker. It seems like he was pretty much neutralized tonight. I got to say, I haven't seen anything from Welker, but, you know, I've been here doing the show, so I'm not totally sure. I'm not sure what it was that he said. I'm sure he spoke.
He's there's been a few tweets, and the ones that I saw were from the Patriot beat writers about, you know, did he speak with Belichick after the game? Welker said yes, it wasn't awkward. And he also mentioned that he thought the video tribute that the Patriots did before the game was extremely classy and that he appreciated that.
So there you go. I'm sure he's not one to hide from questioning or the media or anything like that. He usually talks. So I'm sure there will be more comments that you read here in the coverage of this game in the coming hours and coming days. Brendan writes in, so if you believe the Broncos win out and they get the first seed, if the Patriots happen to play them in the AFC Championship game, do you believe this win is going to affect Manning's mentality dramatically or even the whole Broncos team mentally? Huh. It's an interesting question. Does that sit in the back of their minds? Do you get into their head a little bit? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know them well enough to know what gets into their mind or if they'd be affected by this. Here's what I think. Remember last year when the Patriots beat Houston here on Monday Night Football? That was a Monday night game. And they beat Houston, the whole homecoming game with the Letterman jackets and all that junk. That loss for Houston, I think, tore them apart. I mean, I think mentally they were affected by that loss. I don't think the Broncos are like that. I think the Broncos will be just fine. But in a rematch, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you. I just don't. Jose writes in, Mark, you must be exhausted, but here are my two cents. I'm a little tired. I've been here a long, long time. I've been here like 10 hours now. It's been a long day. The bad.
Half day for you, huh?
What's that?
Half day for you, huh?
Yeah, 10 hours here today. I got here 10 hours ago. You must be exhausted. Here are my two cents. The bad, Ridley, Blunt, and the turnovers. The good, we did not come out flat in the third quarter like we have as of late, especially when it mattered most. Side note, how eerie it must be for Welker to find himself in a play that ended up being the difference against his new team, or for him, against his old team. Good night, Jose from San Diego. Jose, thanks for the email. Appreciate you sending that in. And again, appreciate all of you staying up this late with the Patriots post-game show presented by Xbox One here on Patriots.com. You know, we could probably talk some more about this game because we didn't even dig that deep. We merely scratched the surface of what happened in tonight's game and what it means in the AFC and what it means for this team going forward. But I'll tell you what. Our good friends, Fred Kirsch and Paul Perillo and Andy Hart and Eric Scalavino and all the guys from PFW will be here all week long on PFW in Progress. Make sure you check the schedule on Patriots.com to see when those guys are coming up this week. Get your fill because it's a short week. Thanksgiving is coming up. I want to make sure I wish all of you a happy Thanksgiving and be safe if you're traveling this week. And we'll do this again next week. We'll be back here talking about the Patriots and the Houston Texans coming up next weekend. So you want to be right back here in the same place, and we'll do that pre and post next week against the Texans Patriots with a just amazing win. I didn't think they'd win this one. I really didn't. They get the win 34-31 over the Broncos. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk again soon.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand on Patriots.com radio.
Out of the I formation with Devlin, the fullback for Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right. A foot race to the five. Ridley's going to win it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Next Sunday, the Patriots head to Houston to take on the Texans. Kickoff from Reliance Stadium is set for 4:25 p.m. For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long.
Brady with a check with me on a 3rd and 4 from the 10. Brady in the pocket, has time to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Edelman has it!
Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.